The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always. We're going to play a little game this morning. I'm going to name the setting. I want you to think to yourselves, what chapter is he talking about? Some of you are going to get it on the very first thing that I say. You ready? The day of Pentecost. Most of you know right now. Devout Jews. 12 apostles. A sudden sound as a rushing mighty wind. Cloven tongues as of fire. The 12 apostles all speaking in languages that they had not previously studied. A multitude gathers round to see what's going on. Some of them begin to ask questions. Others begin to accuse the apostles of being drunk. Of course, this setting is Acts chapter 2. If you're paying attention to the scripture reading this morning, that might have clued you in on where we were going with this. And now Peter stands up alongside the other 11. He lifts up his voice and he says, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Peter says, you should know exactly what is going on, because if you would have known your Old Testament, you would have understood that the things that are occurring today on this day of Pentecost are the things that the prophet Joel prophesied would happen. The words he's referring to are from Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 and following. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." And he goes on explaining the miraculous events of this wonderful day. And he goes on to say that whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the condemnation that is in sin. How do you do it? You call on the name of the Lord. How do you do that? Well, we'll see momentarily. Peter then gives a stirring sermon on the fact that these devout Jews had crucified the Son of God. He makes the case that David was not writing about himself when he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell," or Hades, the realm of the dead. "Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption," or decay, Psalm 16 and verse 10. No, he was not writing about himself. He was writing about Christ, the fact that Christ would be raised from the dead. He then tells the crowd that they had all witnessed this. They knew that this was the case, that Christ had been raised from the dead, and that he had been made Lord and Christ. Do you think that Peter had their attention? I bet you could have heard a pin drop in that audience when Peter was making this brazen accusation that these men had crucified the very Son of God. They were devout men, but they were wrong in what they had done. And you can picture, as this audience is listening to Peter's sermon, and they have in their minds this clear representation of the fact that Christ had risen from the dead, and they understand that this indeed was the Son of God. You can picture that the moment Peter's speaking these words, it hits them like a ton of bricks. And they know they had messed up. And then we get to see one of the most amazing passages in all of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38, a passage that shows that the very people who crucified Christ could have redemption. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And then he goes on, and he talks about the promise that was given during the time of Abraham, the promise that in his seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. And that promise is being fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward, this wicked generation." You see, these people stood condemned. Not only did they stand condemned by the fact that they had just crucified the Son of God, but they stood condemned already long before that because they had sinned. But now Peter says, "Save yourselves. Now's your opportunity. Save yourselves." Peter did not say, "Keep on doing what you're doing." He did not say that now that you believe that you were wrong and you have sorrow in your heart, and now that you believe in Him, you're good. He did not say that. He said, "Save yourselves." Why did Peter say that? This will be the subject for our lesson this morning. Let's talk about step one for saving themselves. Oftentimes we hear about the five steps in the plan of salvation. That's a good method to talk about this. Well, let's talk about step one for people who were already believers at this point in Acts chapter 2. They, in Acts chapter 2, went from being unbelievers to believers because they realized the truth of Peter's message. So they already believe. Let's talk about step one on the road to salvation for where they are at. Let's talk about repentance. Peter again said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Once again, who is under consideration in this text? Again, verse 5 of chapter 2. This passage tells us that these were devout men. Devout men with a Jewish background. So what does that tell us? It tells us that they were already Bible believers. Thinking the Old Testament that they had previously been under, they were Bible believers. And it also tells us that they were serious about their faith because they were devout men. But what else can we learn about these people? It's obvious, again, in verse 37, based on the question that they have asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It's obvious that they became believers in the sense that they believed that Peter was speaking the truth and that this was the Christ. They believed at that point. But that wasn't enough. They were not saved upon belief. How do we know that for certainty? Because after that, in verse 40, Peter still has to tell them, save yourselves. You believe, you understand that this is the Christ, you understand and you have seen the fact that He has been risen from the dead. But Peter goes on and still says you have to save yourselves. So we have these devout Jews, and they're transitioning from an unbelief to a belief in their hearts. But Peter tells them they have to do something. They have to repent. Question, repent of what? Well, first of all, they have to repent of the fact that they had crucified Christ, but they have to repent of all the sins that they have committed. They have to repent of the mindset that they had. They had to turn their back on sin, and they had to turn to Christ. When you have some time this week, I want you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and following, and what you're going to find is that there's a very similar change of heart that takes place. Very similar to what we're seeing in Acts chapter 2. You see a change of heart that takes place with the Corinthians. Paul is talking about the fact that he had written them his first letter to the Corinthians, and now he's writing a second letter to the Corinthians, and he says, basically, I'm glad that I made you sorrowful. Not sorrowful just for the sake of being sorrowful, but I'm glad that I made you sorrowful so that you would repent. You change your mind and you change your actions. And I'm glad that my letter caused that fruit of repentance to come about in your lives, Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 and following, it shows us that. A change of mindset and a change of actions. This is what would have been required for the devout Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Devout Jews, save yourselves. How would they do that? Well, step one, they needed to repent. But repentance is not the only thing that was required of them to do in all involved in saving themselves. Step number two, they needed to be baptized. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Not only did they need to change their mind, not only did they need to change their ways, but they needed to follow through with those changes by submitting to the Lord in water baptism, in immersion in water for the remission or forgiveness of their sins. Again, Acts chapter 2 and verse 21 says that those that would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. Peter quoting from Joel in Joel chapter 2. But how would they do that? Again, if you turn just a little bit further in your Bible, you'll see exactly how one does that in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, where Paul was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so that is how we call on the name of the Lord. We are baptized into Christ. All right, well, you say, let's be baptized, but again, what does that mean? It does not mean sprinkled with some water. It does not mean poured with some water. It does not mean splashed with some water. It means to go into the watery grave, and the old man of sin dies in the grave, the waters of baptism, immersed in water, and he arises to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2. Why did Peter say this, by the way? Yes, Peter was directly influenced by the Holy Spirit, to say what he was going to say. But why did he say that you need to repent and be baptized? Because baptism was always in the plan. Think back to what Jesus said right before he arose, or right before he went into heaven. Mark 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized," and being a coordinating conjunction which links two things of equal importance, "he that believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's why Peter said it. Because Peter understood that baptism was necessary for one to be saved. Baptism was always in the plan. So you want to save yourself, then you got to be baptized. Well, I'm mad at Peter. I don't believe Peter because I just don't think that you have to be baptized. Take that up with Jesus. Because long before Peter said it, Jesus said it. So if you want to be mad at somebody, be mad at Jesus and not Peter, because Jesus is the one who said it first. So you devout Jews, in Acts chapter 2, you devout men, but you were devoutly wrong. What must you do in order to save yourselves? You must repent and you must be baptized. And in verse 41, we see that those who gladly received his word did exactly that. You might say, well, I think baptism is important, and sure, you need to do it, but I don't think that it saves. Well, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 20 through 22. And I want to make the connection between 1 Peter 3:21 and the fact that baptism saves. And let's make the connection between that and Noah. Verse 19 said that the Spirit's in prison. Prison of what? Prison of sin. The Spirit's in prison, which were sometimes disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Were saved by God giving them grace and they didn't have to do anything? Were saved by water. Why were those eight souls saved by water? Back in Genesis chapter 6 and following, the waters of that flood that rose above the earth, why were they saved? Because they obeyed God and they got in the boat. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Why do you need to be baptized? Because Jesus told you to be baptized. Peter told you to be baptized. All of the apostles spoke of the necessity of baptism. We see it throughout the New Testament. You need to be baptized because the Bible says that baptism doth also now save us. And so if you want to save yourselves, then you must be willing to submit to baptism. Let me ask you this. How did Noah save himself? Because the truth of the matter is that in a sense, Noah saved himself, and in a sense, Noah did not save himself. How? Well, first of all, Noah did not save himself in the sense that Noah deserved to to be saved. Noah didn't deserve it. Now, Noah was a righteous man. And Noah was a man that obeyed God. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22 says that everything that God told him to do, Noah did it. But that doesn't mean that Noah deserved or earned salvation from that flood. It means that Noah understood that God's grace was available to him, and he followed through by accepting that grace by getting on the boat. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Well, how did he take advantage of that grace? He got on the boat. But in what sense did Noah save himself? We've already said it. He got on the boat. He built the boat. He built the boat exactly how God told him to build it. He collected the animals as the animals came to him and then got on the boat. He did everything that God asked him to do. He used the kind of wood that God asked him to use. So in that sense, Noah did save himself. Just like Peter says, you got to save yourselves in Acts chapter 2. It's just like James chapter 5. James chapter 5 and verse 20, "He that converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." Question: does your blood save anybody? Nope. But can you save a soul if you go out and teach them the gospel? Yep. And so there's two different senses of this. Sometimes the denominational world will tell us, you can't save yourself. If you think you got to do something, you're trying to save yourself. Peter said, save yourself. But you got to understand what he meant by that. He meant you got to follow through with your belief and obey what God told you to do. In all three cases, when we talk about Noah, when we talk about converting a sinner from the error of his way and saving him and covering a multitude of sins, when we talk about baptism, in all three cases, God's grace is present. God's grace saves us. God's grace saved Noah. God's grace will save that sinner that you convert. But remember, Peter still said you got to save yourselves. And the way you do that is by following through with obedience to what God told you you need to do in order to receive the blessings of His grace. Let's change settings. We talked about Acts chapter 2, those devout men and that stirring sermon that Peter delivered to them. And we see in Acts chapter 2 that about 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel that day. Let's change settings. Let's go to today. Let's talk about this audience. And if you're in this audience and you have not submitted to the gospel, then you stand in condemnation. That's just the truth. Why? Because if you are of an accountable age, then you have committed sin, and your sin put Christ on that cross. Will you save yourself? Will you save yourself? Because Jesus went to that cross so that every one of us could have the ability to be saved, and His grace was shown by the fact that He was willing to go to that cross, but we still got to be willing to accept His grace by following through and obeying Him. Will you save yourself? You have the opportunity right now, if you will obey God and continue faithfully as a child of His, then you will be saved on the day of judgment. If you need to come forward this morning in obedience to God, obeying the gospel like we've talked about this morning, then please do that while you can, because you might not be able to tomorrow. Think about that, and if you need to respond for whatever reason, please do so as together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.